Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Hey, good morning. I want to start off this morning. I must ask you a question. But I plan to shave it for later, so we'll get to that. That is courtesy of our tech leader, Andrew Starr. So, Andrew, nice job. What a great, not only good sound in the house, but a funny guy as well. But I do want to ask you a question. It's not about my mustache. My question is this. Have you ever wondered what Jesus meant when he was talking about the kingdom of heaven? Is this ever a question that as you're reading the scriptures or maybe you're hearing someone talk about the kingdom of heaven that you've wondered, what exactly does that mean? What is that talking about? Is he talking about heaven where, you know, believers will be one day in the future? Is he talking about the church today? Is that the kingdom of heaven? Is he talking about the world and that one day he's going to, you know, completely recreate and we're going to have a new heavens and a new earth? Or is he talking about something else altogether? What does Jesus mean when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven? What does the Bible mean when it talks about the kingdom of heaven? Well, very quickly, I want to unpack just four truths about the kingdom of heaven before we get into our parable. And we're going to go pretty quick, so I'm going to ask you to hang with me. Here's the first one. The kingdom of heaven is whenever and wherever God's will is done. That's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is whenever and wherever God's will is done. That's the first thing you have to understand. And so the kingdom of heaven, it includes a place, but it's larger than a place. It's more than a place. It's actually God's leadership being accomplished. One of the reasons we know this, when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, one of the things he says, you're going to pray like this, our Father who's in heaven, your name is holy. And then he says this, your kingdom come. And then he shares this parallel line, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this is helping us to understand what the kingdom of heaven is and what it's like. So it's whenever and wherever God's will is done. Here's the second truth about the kingdom of heaven. It's not just a place you go when you die. It's a life that you live right now. The kingdom of heaven is a life that believers live today. Right? So it's not just a place that we're waiting to go. It's a life that we live right now. One of the very first Bible verses I memorized after becoming a follower of Jesus Christ was Matthew chapter 7:21. And I would love to tell you that I had a lot of thoughtfulness into it. But in fact, what I essentially did was I went, that seems like a good verse to memorize, okay? So I just come to faith, and I started memorizing Matthew 7:21. Here's what it says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, it's a true verse, but if you're a new believer, this is not probably the best first verse for you to memorize. It'll bring all kinds of questions about, well, am I really? Because I say, Lord, Lord, and maybe I'm not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the point of that passage is, it's not about just having an outward appearance as a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not saying the right words. It's not showing up to the right places. It's not volunteering in ministry that gets you into the kingdom of heaven, but it's doing the will of my Father who's in heaven. That's who is welcome in. By the way, we're going to unpack that a little bit later in the teaching, but you have to understand that the kingdom of heaven is not a place you go when you die. It's a life you can live right now. Here's a third truth. One day, the whole world, all of creation, will become the kingdom of heaven. One day, right? There will not be a kingdom of darkness and a separating. It will just all be the kingdom of heaven. It will all be the kingdom of God, that everywhere the will of God is being accomplished at the same time. And so the reason we know that is Revelation 11, verse 15 says that the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. So Revelation is a picture of the future of what is to come. And so we know that one day the entire world will become the kingdom of heaven. And then here's the last thing, just to kind of put, it's not on the screen, but the kingdom of heaven is both already here and it's still to come. So there's levels where you and I can live out God's will today in the here and now. And so it's already here, and yet it's not fully realized. We know that in the future, it'll come in all of its fullness when Jesus returns. Now, we needed to talk about all of that quickly because that has everything to do with the parables that we're going to look at that Jesus shared to help us understand the kingdom of heaven, right? And what he does is he essentially shares with us what happens when we enter the kingdom of heaven and what happens when the kingdom of heaven enters into us as well. So as Pastor Matt mentioned, if you brought a Bible with you, open up to Matthew chapter 13. And while you're going there, my name's Fritz. I'm one of the pastors. Thank you guys so much for being here today, especially on this rainy day. You brave, but praise the Lord, we have rain in Northwest Ohio. Holy smokes, what was it, April? The last time we saw any. But so glad you guys are here. And then especially want to welcome all of our first-time guests. Want to welcome everybody at Lighthouse Online, wherever you're joining us from. We're so glad you're a part of our family. By the way, if you haven't, head over to lighthousecommunity.online.church. All the resources are there. So if you're on Facebook or YouTube, make your way on over. I think you'll have a really great experience at that online campus. By the way, Lighthouse family, can we do something we do every week, which is to welcome all of our first-time guests and everybody join online. Let them know we're so glad that you are with us. Yes, thank you. So we're the second week of our series called The Kingdom of Heaven is Like. Some of you who were here last week, you know we looked at Matthew 13, verses 1 through 23. And you're going to notice that today we're going to look at Matthew 13, verses 31 through 35. And you're going, wait a second, what about 24 through 34? We're going to talk about that next week. We're just going to jump a little bit ahead for this week. But what we're trying to do is understand, Jesus told these parables about the kingdom of heaven. Why? And to help us understand and respond and to think about the truth Jesus was putting in front of us. Before we start reading it, let's take a moment and pray together. So if you would, join me in prayer. God, I am so thankful that I don't stand on this stage this morning alone. The Spirit of God is living inside of me. And that is a comfort to me, knowing that as we read scripture and as we unpack the meaning of it, these are not the best ideas that Fritz has to come up with. But this is your Spirit leading. This is as our teaching team has navigated through this and wrestled through the truth that's here, that we want to hear from you more than anything else. And I'm also thankful that no one sits in these seats and no one is joining online on their own, but rather we're here because the Spirit of God has been drawing us to this moment and to this place. And so we are asking, would you grant us ears to hear the truth that you're inviting us to engage and wrestle with? We know that you have the words of life. Where else are we going to go? And so lead us in that, we pray. And we ask these things humbly in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, Matthew 13, we're gonna start in verse 31 in just a moment. But let me give you quick catch-up from last week. We're talking about parables. A parable is a window into truth, right? So Jesus is using something relatable to help us understand truth. He's also inviting us to think. He's inviting us to think. And so in these two parables, Jesus is inviting us to think about the kingdom of heaven and what that means. And so as we read this, I think three things that come out that from reading and thinking about these parables are three things that you can expect God to do when you enter the kingdom of heaven and when the kingdom of heaven enters into you. These are three things that you can expect God to do in his kingdom when you enter it and when it enters you. And here's the first one, is that when you enter God's kingdom, when the kingdom enters you, God will grow you up. God will grow you up. What do we mean by that? Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32, Jesus tells this parable. It says this, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. So what Jesus says is, here's this planting and this tree, this common thing, and we're going to use it to understand the kingdom of heaven. And what he says is this seed starts out small, right? From their vantage point in this moment, it's the smallest of all of the seeds. And there's some truth in that, that Jesus is exposing about the kingdom of heaven. And one of those truths is this, is that especially in our culture, people don't expect much from small things. We don't expect a lot from small things. We underestimate little kids. We undervalue little churches. We underestimate small acts of kindness. And what Jesus is saying here is that God loves to start big things in small ways. Think about this. Those of you who have read through the Old Testament before, you know that the nation of Israel, which exists today, was started by one man, Abraham. He said, come to a place I'm going to show you. And Abraham believed. And his life was marked by belief. By the way, Romans 4 says later that Abraham is the father of everyone who has faith. He led the way. One man, right? God does big things in small ways. Think about his church, right? The church of Jesus Christ. There are somewhere around 2.8 billion Christians in the world today. 32% of the world subscribes to Christianity, to Jesus Christ. So they are affected. They think about him deeply. God started his church with 12 disciples. God loves to start big things in small ways. I think about my own faith in Jesus Christ. When I came to faith in Jesus, when I was saved by him, do you know where the starting place for me was? I simply believed that he could change my life. I simply believed that he was God. That was the only thing I understood about him when I said yes to Jesus at the beginning. Right, that was 27, 28 years ago, and now I think about where God has led me in my relationship with him, right? To understand him, to be in relationship with him in such a deeper level. God loves to start big things in small ways. In fact, you know the core of belief? You know what it starts with? It's Romans chapter 10, verse 9. This is core. In fact, let's read this passage out loud together, beginning with, if you declare. Are you ready? Go. If you declare that Jesus is Lord and believe that God brought him back to life, you will be saved. That's the core of the gospel. That's for some of us, that is just the starting place where God grabs our attention and he begins to do this transforming work in our life. And so many times God begins big things in small ways. And in Jesus telling this parable, he's exposing that. But something else that Jesus is exposing through this parable is that living things grow. Things that God brings to life, right? You just see it all throughout creation. If something is alive, it's growing, right? It's expanding. And so if you're spiritually alive, I think one of the things that Jesus is bringing forward, if you're spiritually alive, you are meant to grow spiritually. If you are spiritually born again through Jesus Christ, you are meant to grow. One of Jesus' apostles, Peter, put it this way. He said, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Now, what Peter's not saying is, once you're born again, just stay as a spiritual infant, don't grow, and just, you know, cry for the word whenever you think you need it, whatever you think you want. He goes, no. In fact, you're supposed to grow up, you're supposed to mature in the Lord, but you keep desiring the word the way that an infant desires milk, right? They just know they need it, right? I don't understand everything behind it, but I just know that I need it. But as we're doing that, right, God is growing us up. So the question is like, okay, well then what are the ways that God does grow us up? What does he use to grow you? A couple of things I throw out really quickly. God uses things like prayer to grow you. Right? When I'm praying, I am intentionally placing myself to rely on God. When I pray, I'm letting the Spirit transform my heart, that I have a vision, I have an idea for something, and I'm bringing it before the Lord, and I'm letting the Spirit shape my heart, shape my mind in prayer. I'm putting myself in submission to God through prayer. And so God will use prayer to grow you. But God will also use other growing disciples to grow you. Right? I may share a challenge that I'm facing or an idea that I think that maybe God has given to me, and I share that with another growing disciple, and they give me courage, or excuse me, they grant me counsel. They might say, hey, have you considered? What about this Bible verse that says this? Have you worked through that yet? Or encouragement, right? Maybe I'm afraid of something. They go, hey, listen, the Spirit of God's living in you. You can do this. We're with you, right? Your church family is with you. You can do this. So God will use other growing disciples to grow us. He'll also use life situations to grow us. Sometimes he uses blessing. He brings a blessing into our life, blessing of a relationship, blessing of a job, a blessing, just something falls, almost seems like it falls in our laps at times, and God uses that to grow us. More times than not, do you know the other thing that God uses to grow us? Difficulties, challenges, when things don't go your way, right? Those are moments, not to try to fight and make things go forward, but actually to go, okay, Lord, I thought you were leading in this direction. Apparently, I misheard or my heart was focused somewhere else. And so God will use challenges to grow us. And I think if there was one thing that brings all of those three together when it comes to how God grows us, I would point to the Bible. The Bible is that central linchpin that holds all of those together. How do I even know how to pray from Scripture? How do I even know what is good, wise, godly counsel that someone else is speaking to me? I'm filtering it through Scripture. How do I know how to handle the blessings or the challenges of life? I'm looking at Scripture. So if there is one central thing that if I could encourage everybody, that if you're wanting God to grow you, is you would start with Scripture because it informs everything else. When you sense the Spirit of God speaking to you, you can check that against the Scriptures. Because the Spirit is never going to guide you in opposition to what He has already revealed in the Bible. I remember years ago, this was like a decade and a half, I was in ministry, it was my first church, and a woman came into my office, she's like, I need counsel. And I said, what's going on? And she goes, God wants me to divorce my husband. Why? We don't get along. Okay, no, that is not biblical. What you need is you need counsel, and you need the Holy Spirit to shape both of your hearts. But I can tell you that God is not telling you to divorce your husband based on what you've just shared with me. She goes, well, how do you know? And so we went to Bible verses, right? We went to the Scriptures, and she said, oh, I didn't know any of those, right? And so that was opening for her. So living things grow, and God is going to grow you up. And here's what I would say to some of you who have been in the church, you've been walking with Jesus for a while, as you're maturing, and this is kind of for those of you who might be newer to faith, is that as you're growing, it's not just maturity for maturity's sake, but actually when you look at this parable, maturity is measured by multiplication. Maturity is measured by serving and blessing other people. I want you to notice in the parable, the seed gets planted, the seed grows up into a tree, and what happens? It gets so large and the branches get so big that birds are able to come and perch on the branches, right? This tree now becomes a blessing to others. And what this is pointing to is a passage in Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10 that says, let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. When God is growing you up, He will grow you up in a way that blesses, that serves other people than just yourself. That is a mark of maturity in Jesus Christ. And so I have a couple questions for the growing and the mature Christians who have been in the church or been in Christ for a little while. Here's my question to you. Who can you invite to your small group to just journey through Scripture together? Who can you invite to join you on Sunday mornings for church, right? What truth has God revealed to you recently that you can now share with someone else in a situation that they're going through, and point them to truth, and point them to hope that God has shown you? Here's a couple more questions. Who are you praying for to come to faith in Jesus Christ? Specifically, by name, laboring on their behalf. And how can you serve someone else? How can you serve in the kingdom of God that causes the gospel to go forward? Because you have to understand that in the kingdom of God, you're plan A, right? God actually put it in the purpose of the church and within Christians to share the good news of Jesus with everybody else. The growth that God wants to do in you was never meant to stop with you. Let me say that again. The growth that God wants to do in you was never meant to stop with you. That's a very important and even a very threatening statement when you think about that, right? And so God will grow you up clearly in that. So here's what I want to invite you. This is actually a next step on the back of your connection card. I want to invite some of you in the room and some of you joining online to mark that box that says, I'm taking the mustard seed challenge. Okay, you're going, what is the mustard? Is this like eating a Tide Pod or trying to eat a big thing of cinnamon? What's going on here, right? No, nothing along those lines, okay? Here's where it starts. What small step is God asking you to take this week? What small step of faith is God asking you to take this week? Maybe for some of you, it's to read the Bible every day, right? Not just today or prepping for your small group on Wednesday, but actually I'm going to read the scriptures every single day. It's just a small step, right? Or maybe it's I'm going to pray with my spouse. I've never prayed with my spouse before, or I rarely pray with my spouse, and I'm going to take the small step of praying with my spouse this week. Maybe it's giving generously. Maybe it's serving a neighbor in your community who you know needs help. Maybe it's sharing your faith with someone at work or at school, right? Some small step. But I want you to think, what is some small step that God is inviting you to take this week? And here's what I want you to do. I want you to write it down. And then I want you to commit to obeying God for the next 7 days and see what God does with that small step of faith, okay? And if you mark that, what we're going to do is I'm going to send you a message tomorrow just reminding you of what the mustard seed challenge is to encourage you in that. And listen, the reason we do this is because when the kingdom of heaven gets inside of you, God grows you up. Right? He doesn't leave you as you are. He grows you up and he matures you. Okay? That's the first thing that comes out of this parable. Here's another thing that comes out of this parable that Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. When you're in the kingdom of heaven is you, is that God will change you from the inside out. God will change you from the inside out. And that's a really important understanding. And that takes us to the next parable that Jesus was speaking on and teaching about. And that's verse 33. And it says this, he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. And so now Jesus is telling a new parable about yeast. And he's saying, this is how the kingdom of God works. This is what it looks like. And he says, actually, the yeast works all the way through the dough. Now, I am not a baker in any sense of the word. I love to eat baked goods. I enjoy them, as you can tell. But I can't make them because like cooking, you can fudge on stuff, and if you're close, you're going to come out fine. Baking is like chemistry. Right? Like if you're off by 3 grains of baking powder, right? Like the cookies are out, like it's done, it's over, and nobody wants them. And so I had to like look up about like yeast and dough and all of this. And I was fascinated by this. Some of you are going, bro, this is level 101. We learned this in 7th grade home ec class, all right? I was eating. I wasn't learning. Okay, listen. So here's how yeast works. Check this out. Some of this is going to gross you out. So yeast is fungus, okay, if you didn't know that. Right? If you love bread, then you love fungus. All right, so yeast is a fungus that eats the sugar and the starch that's in the dough, right? It starts to eat it, and as it's eating it, it begins to release carbon dioxide. I'm just reading the chemical equation right here off the paper. But it begins to release carbon dioxide into the dough, and that changes the dough's texture and the aroma and the taste. And when the yeast is done, it's now completely different than how it started. It's this new thing that it couldn't have been on its own. The yeast changes the nature of the dough. That's what the kingdom of God does in you. That's exactly what God's kingdom does in you. When Jesus comes into your life, he starts working through every part of you. He starts changing the way that you think. He starts changing the way that you feel. He changes the way that you speak. He changes the way that you live. Everything gets affected. Why? Because without Christ, we are spiritually dead. Without Christ, we are physically alive, but we are spiritually dead. I really appreciate that Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3 describes it. You were once dead because of your failures and your sins. You followed the ways of this present world and its ruler. This ruler continues to work in people who refuse to obey God. And all of us once lived among these people and followed the desires of our corrupt nature. We did what our corrupt desires and thoughts wanted us to do. So because of our nature, we deserved God's anger just like everyone else. Now, what Paul is exposing here for you and for me is that before Christ, we were following the world. And in following the world, we were under the power and the influence of Satan. And we were spiritually dead. We gave ourselves over to our desires. We lived life for ourselves. We were separated from God. We had no spiritual life in us. There's just no value in life without Jesus Christ. And so what this passage is exposing is you and I, before Christ, it's not that we need a tune-up. What we need is we need a resurrection of our very lives. We need to be brought back to life, or quite frankly, to life for the very first time. And so life without Christ, we are spiritually dead. But I love Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. So 1 through 3 exposes all of this bad news. And then chapter 2, verse 4 starts out this way. But God. I love that. On our own, we're spiritually dead. On our own, we keep getting worse. On our own, we keep making horrendous, painful, hurtful decisions. But when God showed up, especially through Jesus Christ, he sets us free from death. He sets us free from sin. And I would encourage you, if you've never read Ephesians chapter 2 before, and especially verses 4 on, do that this week. Take that as part of a next step. In your life, you will be blown away. And so, listen, what Paul in the Bible is talking about, it's not talking about behavior modification. We're not talking about being more disciplined. We're not talking about better habits. We're not talking about behavior modification. We are talking about a total heart renovation. And only God can do that. No one else can pull that off. You can't truly change without Jesus. Let me say that again. You can't truly change without Jesus. You might be able to make tweaks and adjustments that last for a week, maybe 21 days, perhaps a month. And over time, you will make your way back to where you cannot truly change without Jesus Christ. This is why passages like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 are so important. In fact, let's read this one out loud together, beginning with therefore. Are you ready? Go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new, you need the old person gone. They need to be buried. They need to be gotten out. And the only way you get out of that is through faith in Jesus Christ. When you put your faith in Christ, you are not the same person you were anymore. You're new. You now have new desires and new habits and new ways of thinking and new decisions and new priorities. By the way, God promised this newness centuries in advance. If you've ever read through the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, when you get to Ezekiel, you'll read chapter 36, and in 36, you'll come to verses 26 and 27, which say this. This is God's promise, by the way, hundreds of years in advance of Jesus Christ coming. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart, and I will give you a tender, responsive heart. And check out verse 27. I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. This is what new life in Christ looks like. And the whole purpose is that God is changing us because we need to be changed. And so when you say yes to Jesus, don't be surprised that you become more loving. Don't be surprised that you become more joyful or more peaceful or more patient or more kind or more good. Don't be surprised that you become faithful and gentle and self-controlled. That is God's character growing and being developed in you. That's supposed to happen. In fact, be surprised and nervous if you become more bitter, if you increase in anger, if you become less faithful. Be surprised if you are drawn to chaos and you welcome that into your life and you desire it, right? What we're talking about, this isn't about you trying harder. This is a complete change of life because God is now living in you. Can you imagine what that's like? To have God's Spirit living in you and to know it. Man. There's actually another next step that you can take, which would be on your card. It says, send me the How God Changes Us from the Inside Out Guide. And so in that, we brought together some passages that will kind of help you understand, okay, how is it that God transforms our thinking, our hearts, our minds? Scripture exposes all of that. And so if you want to know more about it, check that box. We'll send that to you tomorrow. But listen, when the kingdom of heaven gets inside of you, it changes. God changes you from the inside out. Here's the last one that Jesus exposes. This is kind of like an in plain sight secret, is that God will finish what he started in you. If God starts something, he always finishes it. How do we know? The seed grew up into a tree that blessed others. The yeast worked all through the dough. Spiritual growth doesn't happen in a day, but it happens daily and goes on and on. And he always finishes what he starts. Now, a couple of months ago, my wife, Christina, asked me to replace some old fans in our main bathroom. So the exhaust fans that are in there. And she's like, you know, they're getting like squeaky and wonky and out of balance. And so we need to swap those out. And then there's a little bit of paint peeling in the ceiling of the bathroom. So if you would fix that and repair that. And so I'm like, ready for more, but that was it. I was like, okay, I can do that, right? So I start researching. I find the best fans that, you know, that would work in that bathroom. And I get her approval. And she's like, yes, those fans are good fans. And so I buy those fans. I put together a plan of what we're going to do to repair that peeling paint in the ceiling of the bathroom, and I'm like so excited. And so I end up getting the first fan installed in the bathroom, and it works. So that's a bonus, right? Because she didn't say that. She just said she wanted them in there. You have to be real specific with me, okay? But it did. It worked. The light went on. The fan was fanning. It was fantastic. So first one is in there. The second fan is still in the box in the hallway next to the bathroom waiting to go in. And the ceiling still is paint that's peeling away in the corner of the bathroom, right? And I tell Christina, like, I promise I've solved the problem right now, right? Like, I just tell our guests, when you go in the bathroom, just look ahead and look down. You'll be fine. You won't see that paint, you know, that's peeling up in the, and I just tell Christina, I was like, listen, I'm going to get this done. I promise you. You don't have to remind me every 6 months. I will finish this project, right? Now, thankfully, God is not like me, right? God always finishes his projects. He always finishes what he starts. In fact, there's a Bible verse I hope that some of you commit to memory, because if you do, this passage will change the way you think about life. It's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And what this passage says is this: I am certain that God, who began the good work in you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. God always finishes what he starts. You didn't start your salvation. God did. Which means God will bring it to completion. Right? You don't start your spiritual growth. God did and God does, which means he's going to be the one to bring it to completion. You just have to trust. Your job is to trust God, right? And to respond and say yes to him. And so what this means is that even in your struggles, even in your waiting seasons, even in your half-finished projects that are staring you in the face, they're not the end of your story. God is still writing, and he will bring it to completion. Because that's who he is. I want to read this passage out loud together. This is so important. Are you ready? Starting with the one and go. The one who calls you is... Oh man, that's who God is. He is faithful. And he will do it. And if he starts a work, he brings it to completion. You can count on it. When you fail, God is faithful. When you get stuck, God is steady. When you feel unfinished, God is still forming Christ in you, affecting every part of your life, growing you up. So what do you do while you wait? You trust him. You celebrate the small changes that God is affecting in your life. You keep pointing others to Jesus. And you remember that if the kingdom of heaven has truly entered into you and you have truly entered into the kingdom of heaven, God won't quit until you look like Jesus. He will not stop. He always finishes what he starts. And so what Jesus is exposing from these two parables is that when we enter the kingdom of heaven, when the kingdom of heaven enters us, it's God's will for you to grow up. And God will be the one to do that. He will mature you. Now, there are steps for you to take. There's obedience for you to step into. There's faith. There's trust. But God's going to mature you. And God is going to change you from the inside out. And he will not leave any area of your life untouched or unaffected. And it is God's will for him to finish the work that he started. It may not happen in this world, but when you stand before him in all of his glory, the work will be finished. You will be who God desired and designed for you to be. Now, I know that some of you in the room and some of you joining online, you're going, at the beginning, you quoted Matthew 7:21, the first passage that you had ever memorized, and you said you were going to unpack that a little bit later. I have been waiting this whole time for you to finish that point. You remember that passage? The passage says this, that all those who say to me, Lord, Lord, will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. You only enter the kingdom of heaven when you do the will of God. Which begs the question, what's God's will for my life? We talked about that last week, but I want to look at the passage that exposes it with great clarity. This is God's will for your life. Check this out. This is what Jesus said. For this is my Father's will and purpose, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him as Savior will have eternal life, and I will raise him up from the dead on the last day. The only reason that you and I can enter the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of heaven can enter us is because Jesus did the will of God first for us. Jesus came into the world as a human and lived life the way it was always designed to live, and we haven't. And then he died on the cross to pay for the penalty and the debt that you and I racked up, though he never racked up debt for himself. And then he was raised to life on the third day to show that he is the Son of God and he can set people free from sin and death forever. It is God's will for you to believe in Jesus and to let God transform you and change you all the time. If you're in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of heaven is in you, this is how it works. This is what it looks like. And that's what Jesus was helping us to understand in these parables. I want to invite you to bow your head and to close your eyes. We typically end each sermon the same way. We ask a very simple question, and the question is this: Jesus, what are you saying to me right now? And I want to give you a chance to listen to him and what he may be saying to you. Some of you in the room and some joining online, you're going, okay, I'm tracking with you. How do you get into this? How do you start? Faith is where it begins. Faith is where it starts. And it might feel small, right? Like this tiny mustard seed. But that's just the beginning, right? The way it begins is not the way that it ends. Faith is how it starts. And so I want to say this, that if you've never taken this first step of putting your faith in Jesus, today is that day. You don't enter the kingdom of heaven any other way except through faith in Jesus. And the kingdom of heaven doesn't enter you any other way than through faith in Jesus Christ. And there is a moment where you see the clarity of the truth. You see who God is. You see what Jesus has done. You see what he's calling you to, right? All of that can be true. And yet there's one piece still left to take place. And you know what it is? You have to make a decision. You have to decide. I want that. I believe. I'm in. And for some of you, that is the reason you feel on the outside when you're here on Sunday mornings. This is for some of you, you feel like I'm not really fully tracking because the kingdom of heaven's not in you yet. And you're not in. And the way you do is you put your faith in Jesus. You say yes to him. And you let him do his work in your life. And so God, this morning, I just simply want to pray for any of my friends who are here in the house, joining online, who they're recognizing that. And that you, by your Spirit, would empower them to say yes to you by faith, knowing that the way it starts is not the way it ends. This is just the beginning place, and that you're gonna grow us up, you're gonna change every aspect of our lives, and you will finish what you start. We can count on it. And it's only accomplished through Jesus Christ and because of Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you would lead people to that decision even right now.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.